The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hey guys, this is Alex Kemp from Wolf at the Door Studios, and we wanted to share a big congrats to our fellow Fable and Folly Network friends over at Midnight Burger. They also were nominated for Best Fiction Podcast at the Ambies this year. If you haven't listened to it yet, Midnight Burger is an audio drama about the adventures of a time-traveling and dimension-hopping diner, which means those guys understand the value of a good cup of coffee, which is something that we at Wolf of the Door really treasure. So we're on the same page. They're coming up on their fourth season, so now's a good chance to catch up before they drop that on April 16th. Again, huge congrats to Midnight Burger on the Ambies nomination. You guys can find and listen to Midnight Burger all the usual places you find podcasts or on their website, weopenat6.com. It's all spelled out, weopenat6.com. Okay, thanks. Hi, everybody. I'm still on an island in the South Pacific. I came here for a conference with Gary Patakoff and some of his friends, and I should be back to Harbridge pretty soon. There's still some research going on here that's kind of interesting. Apparently everything's cleared up, so the class will resume when I get back, which is great. In the meantime, I saw a message from somebody who's auditing the class from afar, and they had some really interesting questions. So I thought I would bring those up and just take a look at them. First, the Antikythera device. This was made more as a general statement about the device itself, but I think it could be interesting to see how folks think it may come back up in the future. This question about the Antikythera device and how it relates to Antera, you know, what we found in the ruins of Antera, by we, I mean some much more skilled divers, not me, I had nothing to do with it, but what was found there was a device of a similar level of complexity to the Antikythera device. That's fascinating on its own, that there was that level of technology going on. But also, you know, the question remains, what did the device do? The most likely guess is some sort of celestial calendar. Keeping track of the stars seems to have been one of the primary goals of a lot of ancient cultures. So that's where my money would be. But, you know, we just don't know. Okay, another question. Why would Antera imprison 8% of their population? So this is fascinating. At the end of the Second Empire, there's this introduction of the idea of the feelers, right? The tall ones. And suddenly a large portion of the population was put into, prison. It must have something to do with the ritual, as far as I can tell. The idea that the culture went from this very collectivist whole into an extremely hierarchical structure where there was a subclass, there was slavery, and there was war. What it was that made that shift happen, we're still not sure. But the foundational principle amongst those that study Antera is that there was a shift in the ritual itself, the Motoka ritual, that previously had sort of acted as some kind of social binding, and now instead had some sort of elitist or master and servant kind of relationship. So that's what we think was going on there. And, you know, there's another question here about why did Prime A value the god of sameness, Horquana, while Prime B preferred Nequana, the god of difference? So this also seems to have happened around that same time at the advent of the Third Empire. So if Prime A is built on the idea of sameness, then Prime B tried to elevate this idea of, no, not everybody is the same. In fact, there should be hierarchical structures. I think that's actually reversed. I think the hierarchy began in Prime A, and Prime B became a sort of outpost of the original spirit of the Second Empire, this collectivist sort of, Marxist anarchy that was going on. Okay, the symbolism of the snake. This has more to do with Gilgamesh and the Judeo-Christian tradition. The snake itself doesn't really come up much in Antera, but we first see it as the snake that steals the sacred herb from Gilgamesh so that he cannot live forever. The snake also, tricks Eve into giving the apple to Adam, whereby they're both thrown out of Eden and also cannot live forever. So the snake seems to be the advent of death. Where is the Antaran Book of the Dead? Man, do I want to know. So if anybody's seen it, send me an email. Boy, do I want to see that. The Egyptian Book of the Dead is so fascinating, right? Because it's all these rules and regulations for what you must do in order to traverse the final veil. We don't have the Book of the Dead for Antera. Why are there no laws in the Second Empire? Yeah, great question. How did society work so well? You know, I'm fascinated by the notion that there could have been such an anarchic society that still accomplished so much building and carving, and yet didn't really seem to have, written laws. We don't know. Here's a question. How do you put Ikopa back to sleep? Well, they say that Ikopa had 999 eyes. We call it 1,000 eyes, but, minus one. And if all of Ikopa's eyes are closed at the same time, the world will reset. We will go back to zero. How you do that? I don't know. I mean, I don't think Ikopa's real, so, you could just imagine it. If Ikopa's real, then we're going to need to develop a strategy for that, if that's something that we want to do. Personally, I don't really want to reset the world. Maybe it could use it, but I don't know. I think that would be a loss. There's another note here that says, the ritual, the ritual, the ritual. Yeah, the ritual is central to Second Empire and Third Empire Antera. And this combination of some sort of ceremony,
the cutting off of the fourth finger from the left hand and doing it as a community seems to have bound the entire society together. We don't know more than that right now. Some of my students think that it's really vital that we explore this further. I can understand. But also, you know, we got to watch out for pseudoscience here. This is just what we understand of an ancient culture that is buried deep under the sea. So we're having a hard time getting a lot of data. But that ritual is certainly the cultural spine that holds up the rest of the corpus of Antera. And there was a bonus question here of who are the motherfuckers behind the glass. So, yeah, I'm on this island in the South Pacific that Gary Patakoff, the billionaire, has bought with a collective of about five other extremely well-to-do people. People that I think we would recognize from the pages of Forbes and The Economist. They're here still, some of them, and they're working on setting up, I'm going to call it a research center. I think there's an advantage to the study of Antera in having such well-heeled people be genuinely interested in the subject. I think, you know, as an academic, we know that sometimes commerce and knowledge don't always mix perfectly, but we're going to have to play it by ear and see how it goes. So, Okay. Okay, they're serving dinner in the canteen, so I'm going to go. Thank you for taking time to write out these questions. I really appreciate it. And as soon as I can get back to Harbridge, we'll kick the class back into gear, and hopefully we'll be learning more about Antera and the Third Empire. All right, thanks so much. Talk to you.
Modes of Thought in Antaran Literature. This podcast is made possible by Harbridge University, a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Peeler Prize in Archaeological Literature, and the Harbridge Family Trust, with an in-kind donation and production assistance from Wolf of the Door Studio. Information and course materials, please visit Wolf at the Door's website at WLFDR.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
When Kilner accepted the job of smuggling escaped heiress Samantha Trapp across the galaxy, she expected the job to be over and done with quickly. But now they're stuck with each other and they have a job to do.
Think of Automnicon as a sort of student loan company. You take a loan from them, and then they own you until you've paid it off, with interest.
So all I have to do is pay off my debt? Fine, I can do that. How much do I owe?
900,027 credits. And counting.
You're stuck here, with me, to work it off.
We Fix Space Junk is a sci-fi sitcom from Battlebird Productions, featuring Travelling by Cryo.
Don't worry if you feel like you're drowning. That's perfectly normal. Wait, what?
Aliens from across the galaxy.
Greetings, visitors.
Is that popcorn?
Hello, Your Excellency.
AIs.
Dad, how do I do air?
You're already doing it automatically. Calm down.
And, of course, thrilling and exciting missions in outer space. Hello, valued employees. Here are the details for your next exciting mission. You will be repairing a
device redacted
in or at the
location redacted.
We Fix Space Junk is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Subscribe, consume, integrate, indoctrinate, assimilate, degenerate, and watch your body decay into a faceless husk as your mind floats aimlessly in space. Register your interest with Automnicon now.